Bow our heads and say a little prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful message of mercy in today's readings. Help us to open our hearts up to receive the gifts and graces that you want us to receive this day. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, this is a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful parable that our Lord gives here today of God's great mercy, that God's great mercy is always available. Now, we have the father, and then we have the older brother, and then we have the younger son, who's the prodigal son, are the three main people in this. At the very beginning of the parable here, our Lord, he sees his audience. You see there's tax collectors there, there's sinners that he's speaking to, and also Pharisees and scribes were also in a distance where they could hear the Lord. And so our Lord, as he's speaking, he knows the human heart. He knows our hearts better than we know ours. And so he's speaking to each and every one of them. He has a message. One, he speaks to the fathers to be patient with the children, just as our Father in heaven is patient with us. He speaks to the Pharisees and scribes who are complaining. He compares them in this parable to that older brother who was angry, and the other one came home and was reconciled. And he speaks to tax collectors and sinners, saying, the Father's mercy is always available there for you. We'll look at some things here at this parable from Benedict the 16th, Pope Emeritus. This is from his book, Jesus of Nazareth. It said, in this particular parable here, we see the great love of the Father. His heart is just huge. He loves his children, tries to provide for them everything that he can. We have the son, the prodigal son. He journeys into a far country, it says, which means an interior estrangement or separation from the world of the Father. There's been an interior rupture in the relationship because the younger son just wants to enjoy himself. He wants to live totally independent of the family, of society, just focusing on himself. And he said many in today's society seek, quote, a radical freedom to live only for self, free of any other claim, free of any moral law. He feels that then, now, he's completely autonomous. He can do whatever he wants, which he said really spells out the modern rebellion of man against God. And I was thinking about this. If we live like that, strict, like a radical freedom, I can do whatever I want. Think about when you pull up here to the parking lot. If you were only thinking about yourself, you wouldn't follow any yellow lines. I'll just park whatever I want. That disruption that it causes, the chain effect for so many other people. The prodigal son, the chain effect, is rupturing. Just think about himself, the effect it has on his family. Thinks about his mother, perhaps all the siblings around, all their friends in the area, neighbors. He's just out of there just thinking about himself. And the Holy Father goes on, at the end of this, if we really truly seek that, because the modern world says that's true freedom, it's not, he said, then we completely, really, truly become a slave. Because where does he end? With the pigs. The swineherd. You can just picture him. He's just sitting in the mud pit there. Doesn't have anything to eat except the pigs are eating. All of his friends, they're out of there. He has no more material things in the world. Sayonara, see you later. There's nothing in it for us, so they leave him. So he's all by himself. Now something beautiful happens. It says he comes to his senses and he thought. Pope Benedict says right here, an inner pilgrimage now he begins. Before it was exterior, he's running here, he's running there. You know, people that run here, run there, they're seeking for something. They're actually running from something, you know. So he's probably running from responsibilities from home, running from this. He's going out. But now he starts to think. He's not just living a shallow existence. He's starting to go to the next level. And he's thinking, he's being reflective on life. What is my relationship with my family and society and the world as a whole? Then he comes to his senses. He begins this inner pilgrimage. So now he starts making steady progress leading back home. His mindset becomes homeward bound. And you can think of all the many deserts that he had to pass through. And then we see the Father's mercy coming. So the son's making this interior pilgrimage, then it comes out exteriorly where he starts coming back. And when he's a far, far distance off, the Father sees him. In other words, the Father never stops thinking about us, even if it's the worst sin in the world. He never stops loving us. He's always waiting for us. In fact, he runs out. It says the Father runs out. And Holy Father says, you hear the Son's confession. It says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And then the Father, he doesn't have to continue anymore, because the Father perceives the interior journey that the Son has made. He perceives that the Son has found the way to true freedom. Therefore, he does not even need to finish any more words. I've heard enough. And he embraces his Son, he kisses him, and he gets a robe, a new robe put on. In other words, his baptismal robe is restored. See, when we were baptized, we have this immaculate robe. We're perfect, without any stain of sin. It's all been washed away. We're no longer the ugliness of original sin, or if we're older, the actual sin is wiped away. But as we get older, when we get that sin, we go to confession to restore that robe. That's why I have the picture of the prodigal son back in the confessional up there now. So, and then the Holy Father goes on. Now there's a big feast that's thrown. That feast is the Eucharist. The Eucharist, when we come here together at the banquet. Now, just to fast forward a little bit, the older brother. This is very insightful, Pope Benedict. So the older brother, he's angry. And he doesn't refer to this younger one as his brother. That's your son. Your son comes back and you did this for him and not, you haven't done anything for me. The father's like, whoa, everything that's mine is yours. There was really a lack of gratitude. He was just taking for granted the surroundings, everything that he had. And the Holy Father says, the older brother knows nothing of the inner transformations and the wanderings experienced by the younger brother, of his journey to distant parts, of his fall, and of his new self-discovery. The older brother, all he sees is injustice. And this betrays the fact that he too secretly dreamed of a freedom without limits. His obedience has made him inwardly bitter, and that he has no awareness of the grace of being at home and of the true freedom that he enjoys as a son. So there's a couple lessons from that. One, we have to have an attitude of gratitude. We stop every day, even if it's for a short bit, just to thank the Lord for the graces that we have. Not to take it for granted. Thank the Lord. And the second thing the Holy Father touches on here, he's following the law, strictly speaking, by the letter. He's there in the Father's house, but he's interiorly bitter. In other words, I thought of this example. If you picture the Ten Commandments, Moses comes down the slab of cement room, and some people, well, I'm not going to, you know, my relationship with God, following these commandments, that's all these rules. But there's an author behind the rule. There's a heart behind the rule. Our Lord Jesus Christ has a human heart. What the Holy Father is saying is here, he was just looking at this as the law, but not the interior connection, that there's a heart behind it, that there's a rupture of a relationship. You know, if we just look at the law, but there's a law behind it. You know, if we really love someone, we're going to strive the best we can not to offend them, right? And just in the fact of trying to do that, keep our relationship with God good, will easily then, much easier, follow the Ten Commandments. Now, the church, what the church does with this gospel today, it takes the reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The reason the church put this here, that this is one of the scriptural bases for the sacrament of confession, along with John's gospel chapter 20 and James chapter 5. The church puts this here, because talk about being this reconciled with the Father. So you have St. Paul says here, that God the Father sent his Son on this ministry of reconciliation, reconciling a sinful world to himself. And then St. Paul says, this ministry of reconciliation has been entrusted to us. He's entrusted to us, the priests and the bishops, this message of reconciliation. So we, the bishops and priests, are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, to have this reconciliation with the church, with the Father, we need to go to the sacrament of confession. It's really a beautiful, beautiful sacrament. And I wonder how many Catholics fail to recognize that. You know, I've heard different priests and ones who have doctorates in psychology and everything. They say, you know, there's so many different people that suffer different mental diseases and disorders and anxieties and all that, which could have been easily remedied if they had been in the practice of going to confession regularly. Get rid of that guilt that weighs them down, all this extra baggage that they're carrying around. God didn't want them. God loves them to bring the confession to relieve them of that. Can you imagine this prodigal son? So he's there in the mud and thinking, oh, look at this. I put myself in this situation. But then the relief when he gets back home. When he gets back home, the peace and the joy and the true freedom now that he experiences. But he had to make that effort to go. And I was thinking, well, you know, God makes it so easy for us. All you have to do is get in your car, drive here, and just walk back into the confessional. Say, Father, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my neighbor. Father, I have sinned. Then you just confess the sins. And then a priest, I have the wonderful privilege of saying, I absolve you from your sins. Isn't that beautiful? But it takes humility. It takes courage. It makes to get to the sacrament of confession. And you know in the depths of your heart, if you talk to people who have been away from confession, they know in the depths of their heart they should be going. They try to run from it. They come up with all these excuses. Well, I could just go to God. I could just do this. I could just that. No, no. Christ gave us the sacrament of confession. We're incarnational. We know things through the senses of hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch. So God, all the sacraments touch in our senses. So when we go to confession, we actually hear the words with our sense of hearing. I absolve you from your sins. If anyone here, if any of you here have been away from the sacrament of confession, come back. It's not that painful. The priest isn't going to yell at you. We go to confession too regularly. We're sinners. We need it. We don't want the priest to treat us in a rude manner, so we try to do the same, treat people really gently. Come back now. Maybe many of you here, yeah, Father, I'm going regularly. Great. Keep it up. Well, if you have a friend or a neighbor, or maybe a family member, invite them to come back. During Lent, we have extra confession time. Sunday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, confessions are available. You can just come in here, slip in the back. We have the Gregorian chant music playing. It's a really nice, prayerful setting just to confess the sins, to get rid of all that guilt. I want to add this. The God the Father, this is the Father here in the parable, respects our free will. God's not going to force us to follow commandments. God's not going to force us. I give him the free will. The younger son wants to go, okay, I love you. I'm not going to forget about you. I'm going to be praying for you. I'll never forget you. God, he's always there, but he honors our free will. Now, this is our Lord speaking to St. Faustina and through her to the whole world, speaking to us today, talking really in conjunction with what the reading of today. Our Lord says, tell sinners that no one shall escape my hand. If they run away from my merciful heart, they will fall into my just hands. Tell sinners that I am always waiting for them, that I listen intently to the beating of their hearts. And when will their hearts beat for me? Write that I am speaking to them through their remorse of conscience, through their failures, their sufferings, through thunderstorms, and through the voice of the church. And if they bring all my graces to naught, I begin to be angry with them, leaving them alone and giving them what they want. So respecting our free will. But when we conform our will to what God wants, wow. You know, our relationship with God really is a love relationship. And any love relationship demands sacrifice. I saw a bit of this movie. I never saw the whole thing, just a bit of it. But people told me, filled me in. It's a movie called Fireproof. And Kirk Cameron had made this. And I've known all the details. But we have a husband and wife. And he had an addiction to pornography. I think the wife had some of her issues going on there too. And so the idea behind this was that he wanted to get everything put back in order, right? And to show his love for his wife. But he had to do it in a concrete way. That every day he looked for some kind of sacrifice, some kind of act of love, incarnational, that he could show his wife that he loved her. Now we're called to love God above all things, above our children, above our spouses. We're called to love God above all things, whole heart, soul, mind. During the season of Lent, we're called each day to look for some sacrifice to offer up to God. So if you haven't really gotten your car in gear during Lent, start today. Start today. If you're doing it, persevere. Look for some kind of concrete sacrifice you could offer up. See, this prodigal son, it just wasn't overnight that he left. It's a gradual thing. Someone starts cutting corners in prayers. Maybe they start skipping days in prayers. They let a couple years go by, haven't gone to confession. Then they start not going to Mass as regularly. Before you know it, they drift further and further and further and further away. Whoa. Don't let that happen to you. Try to stay in the Father's house. Don't go off into the mud and the pigs and things like that. Stay in the Father's house. So offer up daily sacrifices. That'll get your heart engaged, not just your mind, with the commandments. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.